morning, Evan Bray Show. Great to have you here as we watch the Mark Carney cabinet is being sworn in at Rideau Hall in Ottawa. And we have had, the list is out now, even though all the appointments haven't officially happened yet. We know the list of people that are getting appointed. We talked about whether or not Saskatchewan's lone Liberal seat would see a cabinet appointment. Buckley Belanger is getting a Secretary of State appointment. There will be 10 of those positions, portfolios to support cabinet. And Buckley Belanger from Desnethe, Mississippi, Churchill River in Saskatchewan will be in the rural development area. That will be what he will be following on with. And so does get an appointment, not to the actual cabinet, but into one of these Secretary of State positions. I wanted to check in this morning with someone who follows this federal politics on a regular way. I mean, this is her route, actually. Stephanie Taylor, who's been on our program before, the parliamentary reporter for the National Post out of the Ottawa Bureau. And Stephanie Taylor joins us this morning. Stephanie, thanks so much for giving us some time.
Of course. Happy to be here.
So we're watching Carney's cabinet shuffle. Any initial thoughts or impressions so far?
So the message that Prime Minister Carney is trying to send with this is that he wants a cabinet that is focused on the economy. That is what he wants Canadians to see about who he has picked for specific roles. He also wants Canadians to see that top of mind is Canada-U.S. relations, as well as how he intends to manage, which he has said he wants to manage efficiency. He wants to get right down to work. That is why there is some emphasis on kind of the size of this cabinet. So we have, 28 ministers who are kind of full-fledged ministers, 29 if you count the prime minister, and as you were saying, kind of 10 quote-unquote secretaries of state or junior ministers. Now, in terms of some of the kind of big changes we are seeing, we are seeing the return of Anita Anand, who was kind of a prominent minister under Justin Trudeau. She was one of those ones who said she wasn't going to run and then changed her mind kind of as the election got underway. She's going to be moving to foreign affairs. She had previously been working on internal trade, previously Minister of National Defense. So that's a prominent promotion for her. Melanie Joly, previously foreign affairs, she's moving to industry. We are seeing the return of Sean Fraser. Again, he said he wasn't going to run back in December. He changed his mind. He's going to be moving to justice. Now, when it comes to maybe who those out west are going to be kind of paying particular attention to, we see some new names when it comes to natural resources and energy as well as the environment. Jonathan Wilkinson, who back in the day used to work as a chief of staff in Saskatchewan, he had served as energy and natural resources minister. He's out of cabinet completely. And someone by the name of Tim Hodgson, who's a GTA candidate, who was recently elected this election, who previously served as the CEO of Goldman Sachs, the chairperson of Hydro One in Ontario. He's going to be taking over the energy file at a pretty important time when a lot of people are talking about getting more projects like pipelines built. And another name I think you're going to get to know in Saskatchewan is Julie DeBruzan. She has been a Toronto MP for quite a while. She is going to be taking over the environment file.
So we're chatting today with Stephanie Taylor, parliamentary reporter for the National Post. So on the changes that we're talking about, was there a strategy when you talk about Chrystia Freeland, Sean Fraser, Anita Anand? These are people who had voiced some displeasure with Trudeau in varying degrees, either saying they weren't going to run again in the term of Chrystia Freeland. She outright resigned her position, not as MP, but her position in cabinet. Is there a strategy in bringing them back that shows they support the Liberals, just they weren't supporting Trudeau? Is that what we're seeing, do you think?
I think what we're seeing, it depends on what their portfolios and backgrounds are. I mean, in the case of Sean Fraser, he had held some fairly high profile cabinet positions under Mr. Trudeau. He had been housing, immigration. Now he's going to be returning to justice. As I said with Anita Anand, she previously had been national defense, internal trade. At a time, both of those issues are top of mind. She's going to be bringing that experience to foreign affairs. I think with Ms. Freeland, the fact that she finds herself in cabinet, not just because of her skills as previous foreign affairs minister, previous finance minister, previous deputy minister, but it is also, I think, a bit of an attempt from Mr. Carney to kind of show that while there are new faces and that there is going to be change, that there's not really a sense of kind of that, you know, bad blood, that there was a lot of rumors of would Ms. Freeland find herself in there. At the same time, there are other names, kind of notable Trudeau-era cabinet ministers that do not have a post. Carina Gould, who ran against Mr. Carney for Liberal leadership, she's finding herself without a job. There were questions about would someone like Mark Miller, a personal friend of Mr. Trudeau, he had held some senior files. He is not among those returning to cabinet. And I think around even someone like Jonathan Wilkinson, when tensions with the West are starting to flare up again, and Prime Minister Carney has talked about wanting to kind of reset that relationship or deal with it in a way that it hadn't always been dealt with before, I think by putting kind of a new face in there, it signals that he wants to kind of begin a new chapter in some of these stickier thorny issues that had kind of plagued Mr. Trudeau when he was at the helm.
You know, this may come as a bit of a surprise to you, Stephanie, but in the West, there was a real sour taste in the mouth of Westerners. Not all, but many, when it comes to Stephen Guilbeault. And so there was a lot of attention focused on would Stephen Guilbeault, who, of course, is strong on climate, was against oil and energy and became, was an activist before getting into politics. We had open lines before you and I started chatting, and I can tell you that was the basis of a lot of the conversation, from me included, that there was this notion that Stephen Guilbeault, potentially a lightning rod for the federal Liberals, would he get a seat? He ends up getting the Ministry of Canadian Identity and Culture. Thoughts on that?
Essentially that's Canadian heritage. And in the past, sometimes there are, conservation, or that's where Parks Canada falls under. But I think that, will he continue to be a lightning rod in the West? I don't think anyone's going to be forgetting his name. But I think the hope from the Prime Minister is that because he is no longer on those energy and climate files, that they will be able to move forward. And I think for someone like Mr. Hodgson, who's going to be taking over energy and natural resources, it's going to be kind of soothing those relationships and starting kind of a new relationship and trying to get a bit more, some actual kind of more constructive policy accomplished. But Mr. Guilbeault continues to be among kind of Quebecers and among those in this part of the country, someone who is still quite respected, someone who, when it comes to Canadian heritage, again, at a particular time when a lot of people are talking more about, Canadian institutions and Canadian identity, that he is someone that can speak to that. And I think particularly when it comes to the Quebec kind of federal relationship, he is also in a unique position, as we know that there is still, there's separatism in Quebec as well. So, I think it is also interesting that he will be talking, be the kind of national heritage minister from Quebec.
Stephanie Taylor is my guest, Ottawa Bureau reporter for the National Post. There's been murmurs, and it's been said that the NDP, the new interim leader, Don Davies, has had talks with the federal Liberals about trying to get essentially official party status because they lost that, given the number of seats that they lost in the election. Are you hearing any murmurs about that and what the chances of that happening are?
We are expected to hear from Prime Minister Carney in pretty short order, and I can imagine that is one of the questions that he could be asked or that he will have to answer at one point. Mr. Carney has so far ruled out striking any kind of a deal like the supply and confidence agreement that existed under Mr. Trudeau. So it remains to be seen whether anyone but the NDP is going to be supporting this call. Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre, who's now in a pretty unique position being out of Parliament, he's expected to address reporters today. And I think there's also questions about will the Conservatives be supporting the NDP in getting official party status? We saw what happened in a number of ridings across the country. Yes, the federal Conservatives gained seats in this election at the expense of the NDP, but there were also some tight races that without the NDP having more support cost the Conservatives those battles, I think, across Atlantic Canada as well as in areas kind of like the greater Toronto area. So, mm-hmm. so far, the NDP certainly is hoping for a bit of an olive branch, but it remains to be seen whether anybody, the Liberals and Conservatives, are kind of willing to give that to them.
You mentioned, Stephanie, we're chatting with Stephanie Taylor this morning from the National Post. You mentioned that some of the appointments that we've seen in the cabinet are indicative of and pointing to the importance that the Liberals are putting on the relationship with the U.S. Dominic LeBlanc, the Canada-U.S. trade portfolio, along with intergovernmental affairs. You recently sat down, had a one-on-one with the U.S. ambassador to Canada, Pete Hoekstra. Did you get a sense that he holds out hope that maybe we're close to signing a trade deal with the U.S.?
He certainly talked about what we see from the United Kingdom, that announcement, that is kind of the template that Canada might look to. I think the question now goes to Prime Minister Mark Carney as to what might he be willing to agree to when it comes to getting some kind of tariff-related deal with the United States. For example, with the United Kingdom, yes, tariffs are lowered in some cases, but they're not completely gone. And I think the question for Canada's Prime Minister is, would you be willing to kind of strike any kind of a deal that would still allow some tariffs, maybe not the full 25%, maybe not as sweeping as they have been announced and are applied for goods that are not compliant with the free trade deal with the U.S. and Mexico. But I think, we have to see what kind of terms Prime Minister Carney might want to be willing to agree to. Now, when he's been asked generally about negotiations in the past, he says that he's not going to negotiate in public. But also, I think there's also questions as to, you know, how much would Canada be willing to open up in terms of putting more sector access for the United States in areas like, you know, beef, for example, or with dairy and you know, dairy in particular and being certain supply managed sectors. But certainly, I mean, this is a priority for Canada, and it sounds like for the U.S. as well. But I think the question is what might Canada be kind of be willing to agree to, and what might they be willing to offer some concessions on?
Yeah, and in that same interview, Pete Hoekstra basically pushed back on the 51st state rhetoric, saying, it's done. The president might say it again a time or two, but at the end of the day, it takes two to tango, was his attitude.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the biggest kind of takeaway from the U.S. ambassador is the sense that U.S. President Donald Trump has more respect for Prime Minister Mark Carney than he did for former Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. The question going forward is what does that, you know, what is a better relationship get Canada? What does this lead to? We are going to be hearing a lot about the Canada-U.S. relationship, not just because of the current trade war, but President Trump next month is going to be in Canada when it comes to the G7. Prime Minister Mark Carney is going to be going to the NATO Leaders Summit. He's going to be meeting with premiers. Premiers are going to be asking and requesting and looking for updates as to how exactly Canada is navigating this. So I think the takeaway from that kind of, you know, historic meeting in Washington, that first meeting, was that things went as well as they could for that first meeting, but the devil is going to be in the details, and what does Canada get by having a better relationship with a president who has proven that he can certainly be volatile and unpredictable.
Stephanie, always appreciate you stopping by the show. Thanks for your time today.
You're welcome.
Stephanie Taylor, who is the parliamentary reporter with the National Post, and if you want to see the full interview she did with Pete Hoekstra, who is the U.S. ambassador to Canada, you can check it out on the National Post webpage. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Thanks again to Stephanie Taylor, Ottawa Bureau reporter for the National Post. Her take on the cabinet appointments that are happening this morning. I know that I launched us into a conversation on Stephen Guilbeault, and I won't say it was unintentional. It was intentional. I really feel like there were a couple of people who could have been left out of cabinet that would have sent a message by the Prime Minister that he was looking to start anew, start afresh. And I said this earlier, is it possible that he didn't know, whether it's the prime minister or even just government in general, the lightning rod that Stephen Guilbeau is for the West. I just chatted with Stephanie Taylor, and although I think she had a sense of it, I think it's safe to say people in the East maybe look at this a little differently than we do. So Jonathan Wilkinson, Karina Gould, Mark Miller, some of the past cabinet ministers that didn't make it into the new Mark Carney cabinet. It is pared down, 28 ministers as opposed to 40, so a number of positions were eliminated. There are, though, 10 secretaries of state, and Buckley Belanger is one of them. He is the Saskatchewan MP for Desnethy, Missinippi, Churchill River. Rural development is the area that Mr. Belanger is getting. And by the way, every time I say the name Buckley Belanger, people text in and say, you're saying his name wrong. That is the way he wants it pronounced. We had him on the show a couple of weeks ago, right after he successfully won in the election. And yes, I know there are people that pronounce it Belanger. He wants it pronounced Belanger, just to save yourself some texting time, because we got a ton of those texts that came in as I've been talking a little bit about them. Also, a lot of people saying, Evan, you're not making too much out of the Guilbeau thing. That would have been a smart decision for Mark Carney to leave him off the roster. Okay, we'll no doubt digest this more as the days and weeks roll on, but we are going to carry on this morning. We got lots on the show. When you think of palliative care, I'm guessing, like me, think about end-of-life care for someone who has a disease or something incurable that they are going to die from. Palliative care actually has a much broader meaning, but has really narrowed through society's use of it. I've got a doctor joining us, Dr. James McMillan, right after the break to talk about what palliative medicine looks like in the province of Saskatchewan. We'll reset the thinking when we come back here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.